It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and realtor Daryl Garrison. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. I was adjusting my tie, excuse me. We hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning, and we do hope you can spend a little of that Saturday morning with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so naturally, we are looking for your participation. We would love to hear from you. We have two different numbers you can call, and the first is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we do have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, 866-798-8255. We'd love to talk to you. We do have the option of sending us an email if you have a comment or a question. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So just remember the numeral one. And if you would like to give us a call, please do that soon. We want to hear from you as soon as possible. We'll start with a round of questions. Also want to remind you that you can listen to us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time, thanks to Joanne, after our show. And that will also be at kalw.org and many, many other places, Apple, blah, blah, blah. But feel free to start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Again, those two numbers, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We'll start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Our guest panelist this morning is Daryl Garrison of the Brentwood Garrisons. Daryl, thanks for skipping your Saturday morning cartoons to join us.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no Scooby-Doo. In honor of Labor Day, or excuse me, Arbor Day, oh my gosh, which was yesterday, Lori Fisher thinks he might have already seen a poem as lovely as a tree, mainly because he has a couple of pretty crummy-looking trees in his backyard. Lots of poems looking better than those trees.
Really true. And
that is our, right.
Yeah, and our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will be saying farewell to his appendix next week. Shows that even the best of friends must part, surgically or otherwise.
That's right.
All right.
My appendix was reluctant to go, so we had to cut him out, or cut them out, I should say.
Very nice.
Yeah, in a couple of days. Anyway, all right, that is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Daryl Garrison.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start with some movie questions here. Movie taglines, they can be memorable, such as "Be afraid, be very afraid" for 1986's The Fly. So can you remember these six movie taglines? I have one from each decade from the 1940s to the 1990s in order. Here we go. First, the 40s. From the moment they met, it was murder. From the 1950s, the story of a man who was too proud to run. From the 1960s, a man went looking for America, and he couldn't find it anywhere. From the 70s, on every street in every city in this country, there is a nobody who dreams of being a somebody. From the 80s, man is the warmest place to hide.
Man?
Man is the warmest place to hide. And from the 90s, even a hitman deserves a second shot. So real quick, from the moment they met, it was murder. The story of a man who was too proud to run. A man went looking for America, and he couldn't find it anywhere. On every street in every city in this country, there is a nobody who dreams of being a somebody. Man is the warmest place to hide. Even a hitman deserves a second shot.
All right, Lori.
Well, I think I know one and probably know another, so I'll take one that I'm most sure of in the 60s, looking for America and couldn't find it anywhere. Was that Easy Rider?
It was Easy Rider.
All right. I'll take my bell. So, Dana, you take the next one.
From the moment they met, it was murder, I believe, is Double Indemnity.
It is Double Indemnity.
You know, that's what I thought. Very good.
And
I don't have another one, so go ahead.
The Man Who Was Too Proud to Run, is that High Noon?
It is High Noon.
Oh, great.
All right. All right. Okay, so why don't you just give the ones that are still out there?
Sure, 70s. On every street in every city in this country, there is a nobody who dreams of being a somebody. 80s. Man is the warmest place to hide. 90s. Even a hitman deserves a second shot.
All right.
Okay. And Lori, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, I ran into an article that was about the advertising age, the kind of consumer group, and they had assembled a list of the top 50 advertising slogans. So I guess we're dealing with taglines today from the second part of the 20th century. And number one was "A Diamond Is Forever." Number two is "Just Do It." So I'm not asking about those. Turns out that three of the top 10, and we'll only be in the top 10, were for beverages. I'm looking for the taglines for the three beverages, all really well-known slogans. And two of them asked a question. So I'm looking for you to guess on, or if you know, the three of the top, and this was from 1950 to 2000 when they were invented in the top, these are all in the top 10. Three that are refer to beverages. I will tell you the kind of beverage if you want, but let's wait a little bit. And two asked a question. So I'm looking for a total of five.
Okay. So one of them has got to be Got Milk.
No.
What?
Which would be both a beverage and a question. And it wasn't in the top 10. I can't explain what they did.
One of them is probably for Coca-Cola, isn't it?
One is for Coca-Cola.
And it's in the form of a question. So
no,
it's not,
the beverages are not in the form of a question. The two
they are not?
Yeah. The beverages are just straight up slogans.
Oh.
But one of them's a Coke that does not ask a question.
I'd like to... The one that the song was in that they had in Mad Men.
Yeah, Teach the World to Sing.
Teach the World to Sing?
Yeah, is that's not one? Not that
that's
one.
That's not it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a Coke and a smile?
Not that one. Not a Coke and a smile. But you're in the right neighborhood. I think about every 10 years they come up with a new one.
Things go better with Coke?
Not things go better with Coke. In fact, I'm going to check here. None of them mention, of the five we're looking for, none of them mention the product's name itself. I just
you mean
so they don't like "A Diamond Is Forever" doesn't name the beers, and "Just Do It" doesn't name, but "Things Go Better with Coke" does mention Coke. So just as a hint, none of these mention the product.
The pause that refreshes.
Yes, that's the Coca-Cola. Very good.
All right.
So we're looking for two more beverages, and then two questions that aren't about beverages.
Okay.
Very good.
And I'm sorry, they're all
Got Milk should be both. Yeah. Go ahead.
All the answers are beverages?
There's two more that are beverages and two more are questions, but the questions, the product is not a beverage.
All right. Okay.
Okay. And later on, I can give hints. Yeah.
All right. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. Please feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. And area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
We're number one, first call. Okay. Who is the only actor who was in The Thin Man 1934 and Bringing Up Baby 1938?
Ooh. The only man. Well, is this a bit of a trick question? Because the dog that played Asta was in both The Thin Man, obviously, as Asta, and then I'm trying to think of the name of the dog. Was it Mr. Smith? Not Mr. Smith. It's also played the dog who stole the bone in Bringing Up Baby.
Exactly. Very good, except for the dog's name in Bringing Up Baby.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what the dog's name was now.
I have a grandson with the same name. That's a hint.
Rover?
No, something.
Sparky? You have a grandson named Sparky.
What was it?
George.
Okay, all right. That's
and
good.
What do you call Cary Grant's accent? What's the name of that accent?
Mid-Atlantic.
Mid-Atlantic, exactly. And what film had the famous line, Jody?
No film did. He's never
said
it.
Often thought to be Only Angels Have Wings, 1939. Rita Hayworth played Judy. But he never used the term Judy. I need a couple of famous movie lines that never actually happened. Humphrey Bogart.
Play It Again, Sam?
Exactly. Never said. James Cagney.
You Dirty Rat.
And, of course, Cary Grant never said Judy. And since we're talking about Cary Grant, he was in four of Hitchcock's movies. What film did his daughter, Patricia, have a major role?
She had roles in a couple of things, but her biggest role, I think, is in Strangers on a Train.
Exactly. Very good. And
but she's in Psycho, too.
She's in Psycho. Is that like a cameo, or does she have lines?
No, I mean, she plays Janet Leigh's workmate.
Yeah, the part. Last question, because you're doing very well. The only thing I stopped you on was George. The only Best Picture Oscar for Hitchcock.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
Rebecca. What year?
1940.
Oh my God.
40.
I think I'm in your wheelhouse with these questions.
You are.
Well, I'll try better.
I'll try better next time.
Well, with another impression. Most of our callers do not give West Virginia Cary Grant impressions. That's pretty good.
I have an impression of Donald Duck sneezing.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Fred from West Virginia is doing shtick now.
Take it to Wheel of Fortune. I love that. All right. Thank you very much, Fred. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that would be Daryl Garrison, realtor at large, Better Homes and Gardens realtor. And, of course, Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And, of course, you can join us here with question or answer. We always look forward to that. We prefer you do it as soon as possible because we don't want to miss any of your calls. So that's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, my turn finally. My God, I thought it would never happen. All right. Reading about European history as I do basically all the time. What was the longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe? Who was the dictator and what country was it in?
Oh, we were talking about Spain earlier. Is that Francisco Franco?
It is not. You would think that, but you would particularly, I guess. But what was the longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe?
Joanne is guessing Tito?
It was not Tito.
How long was Franco? Dictator.
Like 30s to the 70s.
37, 8 years, something like that.
And how much is the answer to this question? How many years?
41 years.
Hmm. And it's an actual dictatorship, right? Like our.
Oh, most definitely. Yes. There may have been a council or something underneath the dictator or a sort of a rubber stamp legislature of some kind, but this person made all the decisions, no doubt about that.
And you said it was 20th century?
Yes, all 20th century. What was the longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe? 41 years. Who was the person in charge and what was the country? And here's my other question. Now, one answer, please, if you don't mind. Who are the 6 largest retailers in the United States that have an apostrophe in the name of the business? Who are the 6 largest retailers in the United States that have an apostrophe in the name of the business? McDonald's is not one. Don't say McDonald's because they do not have an apostrophe.
And I don't consider them to be a retailer, do you?
It would, you know, you probably get away with it, but anyway.
Okay. My first guess would be Macy's.
Macy's is number 2. Okay. Yes. Very good. Okay, there's yours. Okay.
How about Kohl's?
Kohl's is number 4. Very good. Okay.
And you want Joanne's? He has a guess of Lowe's.
Not yet.
I'm sorry. Never mind. Don't answer. Sorry.
Not yet. I'll give you, don't worry. I'll put you down a little bit later,
Joanne. Okay.
Okay. So once more, what was the longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe? Lasted for 41 years. Who was the dictator and what was the country? Or what is the country or what was the country? And then who are the 6 largest retailers in the United States to have an apostrophe in the name of the business? So far we have Macy's and Kohl's. What are the other ones on that list? And all right, the 2 numbers, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. This is Odetta from San Pablo.
Hi.
I wanted to give an answer on the slogans or the mottos for food. And I was wondering if Where's the Beef was one of the options.
It is. Nice. And what was the product? Where were they looking for the beef? Do you remember?
Was it Wendy's?
It was Wendy's. Very good.
That was Clara Peller.
That's right. Clara Peller. Where's the beef? Yeah. Very good, Odetta. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So the longest dictator in Europe is Alexander. It's hard to read his name. Gurekovich Lukashenko.
All right, say that again, Ian. I didn't quite get some of that.
The last name, okay, Alexander. I'll spell his middle name. Gurekovich. Gurekovich is his middle name, and the last name is Lukashenko.
Oh, you mean Lukashenko? No, not Lukashenko. No.
Not? Wow. Then I'm wrong. Okay, I have a couple of very quick questions. Again, when, you know, Christian and Jewish people, in their prayer, they say the word Amen. What about Muslim after the prayer? Well, you know, they have to pray 5 times a day. What do they say? The end of the prayer.
I don't know. Is it God is great or thanks to...
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Amen also. Amen. Amen. They pronounce it Amen, which is actually the correct pronunciation, which was the name of God in ancient Egypt. Amun, or Amen. Okay. So, awful lot of misconception. It is the same word, same religion, same everything. Most of the changes happened with the Latin's translation. Okay. Very quick question again about Semitic languages. What is the word Semitic referred to?
Sorry?
Semitism. Say it again? Yeah.
No, we've had this question before.
I do.
It's a language. It refers to language, right?
It's language, group of language, and it applies to Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic, Amharic, and a few other less known ones. Okay, let's talk about astronomy.
Sure.
Very quick questions. We know that Venus is called Earth's evil twin because it is hot enough to melt lead. It also have a couple of other strange characteristics. Can anybody know what are they?
Well, one of them is it has the it's turns counterclockwise, opposite the other planets.
Exactly. Very good. So nice. The sun rises on the west, on Venus, and sets in the east. Okay. Which of the solar system planets have two moons?
That is Phobos and Deimos. That's Mars.
That's Mars. Okay. Which planet in the solar system that have no moons at all?
Mercury doesn't have a planet.
Mercury has no moons.
Mercury has no moons. What is the other one? There's actually two planets that have no moons. What is the other one?
Joanne thinks it's Venus. Is it Venus?
Venus it is. Venus
it
is.
Joanne.
Okay. I asked that before, but it's good to repeat for people. how old is that light hit your forehead that comes from the sun? How old is it?
It's 8 minutes.
It's 8 minutes to go from the sun to your forehead. But how long did it take from the center of the sun to the sun's surface?
You didn't think about that, Daryl, did you? How long does it take to get from the center of the sun?
To the center of the earth. I'm going to go 12 minutes.
On the average, 70,000 years. On the average, it take as long as 1 million
close,
years.
Laurie.
You were so close.
I was.
You know what it is? It's a very, very good simple explanation by astronomers. Imagine a very drunk man in a very crowded bar. It takes a much longer time to go from the, because they keep hitting, just bouncing back and forth, which is good, because when the beam of light created in the center of the sun is actually in the form of gamma rays, which will kill us all in less than a second. So by
that's a very tortured analogy, but all right.
Very. Thank you, guys. Always a great show.
All
Have
right.
a good day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We, of course, would love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134, question or answer, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Okay, we have some emails here. I should read some of those. And Tim is wondering if the human is the warmest place to hide, Daryl mentioned as a movie tagline. Is that Coma?
Coma was a 70s movie. This is a 1982 film.
All right. So sorry about that, Tim. And Mithras Scott, Where's the Beef? I think I figured that out.
You did get that.
And let's see. Carlton is wondering, it's the real thing, Coke. Was that one of the ones that was?
It didn't make the top 10. The Coca-Cola one was the pause that refreshes.
Okay.
The Coca-Cola always has so many good ones.
He also wonders if wouldn't you really rather have a Buick is on the list, which is highly doubtful.
It isn't on the list. Yeah, it is a question, but none of these mention the product?
Maybe ask the man.
Yeah,
ask the man who owns one. That he didn't suggest Packard either. So,
because
my grandfather used to get a new Packard every 2 years, so he was the only one, I guess.
Wouldn't you rather have a Model T? Yeah.
So Steve, our longtime listener and caller in, Steve, I believe the same. Yes, it is. And he suggests that man is the warmest place to hide is from John Carpenter's The Thing.
It is The Thing.
Oh. Okay, very good, Steve. I'm on that.
Good tagline.
And is one of Laurie's slogans, good to the last drop for Maxwell House Coffee?
It is. Good to the last drop for Maxwell House Coffee. Might have been their instant coffee. I don't remember, but that is one of them. Very good. That was the second beverage. So we're looking for one more beverage and one more question.
Marilyn is wondering if the longest serving dictator was Ceausescu in Romania. No, it was not Ceausescu. No. Although he was right up there. And again, Nancy also was wondering about Ceausescu. And Tom was wondering about Stalin, but no, Stalin actually is kind of down there. I mean, 30 years. So,
Piker.
Yeah. Kevin, beloved Kevin of Kevin Vance of KLW, who listens to the show, he also asked, suggested, wouldn't you rather drive a Buick? That's interesting.
You know, we could
remember that.
We could probably vote it in. Maybe we could get it in there. We now have
that's
two
interesting.
Votes.
Yeah. Huh. And he suggests Salazar in Portugal. And Salazar was in the is in the top 10 of longest serving dictators, but no, not there. And then Mark and Tina are wondering about whether it's Franco in Spain, but no, it's not Franco. Okay. Feel free to email us. That's fine. Of course, we'd like to talk to you in person, but if you want to email, it's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Anyway, okay. And I think, Daryl, it is your turn.
The category is places with very small populations. In Ngerulmud, Ngerulmud, Ngerulmud is possibly the least populous capital city of a sovereign nation in the world. One reference I saw gave its official population as zero. I'm not sure why, possibly because it's a seat of government and no one lives there. But another one said around 400 people live there. Name the nation.
Could you spell that again?
Sure. Ngerulmud. Ngerulmud. Here's another one. What is the sole British overseas territory in the Pacific Ocean? The capital has less than 50 people. The sole British overseas territory in the Pacific Ocean. The capital has less than 50 people. I have two more. The Cocos Islands, or Keeling, K-E-E-L-I-N-G, Keeling Islands, with a population of only 120 people, in its capital of West Island, are an external territory of what sovereign country? The Cocos Islands, or also known as the Keeling Islands. And final one, the least populous territorial capital of the U.S. is in Guam, with only 950 people. What is the capital of Guam?
Well, Dana, I'm given, I don't know any of these. I'm unhappy to say, so you can have my guess as well as yours.
Well, he has so many, I kind of lost track, but let's go back to the top of that list.
Sure. And Ngerulmud is the capital of what sovereign nation? What
I think that's the capital of Palau.
It is Palau. Very good.
Yeah.
What is the sole British overseas territory? The capital has 50 people in it.
Well, there are two guesses to that. It could be Pitcairn Island.
It is Pitcairn Islands.
Ooh. The Bounty. That's where the Bounty
right.
burned.
Yeah, the Cocos Islands or Keeling Islands, only 120 people in its capital, are an external territory of what sovereign country? And the final one is, what is the capital of Guam? It only has 950 people.
Yeah, I might come up with Guam. I don't know about the others. Okay. All right, leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning, it's Peter on Bernal.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Peter. You sound like you just got up.
No, I'm awake.
All right, good.
We'll see.
Not coming up with any answers, but good questions.
All right, good.
And here's one. According to the New York Times bestseller list, which of the top three works of literature in English sold in the 20th century was not originally written in English?
All right. So do children's books count? If I said The Little Prince, would that count?
You got it.
All right.
So that's one of them, right? Are the other two children's books as well?
The top three are children's books, yes.
So they're all children's books. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, but the other two top three were written in English.
Oh. So we're looking for two more books not written in English.
No.
Oh.
You got the one that was not written in English. So the
all right, start the question again from the top, just so we can understand.
Okay, according to the New York Times bestseller list, which right. of the top three works of literature in English sold in the 20th century was not originally written in English? And you got the answer, The Little Prince.
All okay. right. Okay.
But if you want to guess what the other two of the top three works in English that were written in English, you may do so.
Well, for a kid's book, you mean like Charlotte's Web? That would be up there.
No, not the top three.
Alice in Wonderland must be up there.
No.
Oh. It said 20th century.
Yeah, that's fine.
How about Goodnight Moon?
No.
Nope.
Where the Wild Things Are?
No.
Should we be thinking Dr. Seuss?
Think longer works of literature.
Okay.
Hmm.
But for children, correct?
Children.
Like one of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe?
No, but that's, you're on the right track.
Oh, so then would The Hobbit be, or the, would that be considered children's?
You're almost there.
The Lord of the Rings, then.
Lord of the Rings?
That's number one.
All right.
What's number three?
Is it a extension of that?
No, but it is a part of a series of books.
It's part of a series of books. So it's not, is it, it's not Twilight, is it?
No.
I think that's, it's not 20th century. These are all 20th century, right?
Oh, all 20th century.
Is it in the realm of science fiction?
Oh, how about Wizard of Oz? That's 1903.
No.
But is it science fiction fantasy-ish?
Definitely fantasy, not really science fiction.
Okay. Part of a series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tarzan. The Phantom Tollbooth.
Tarzan.
No.
Which part of the...
Harry Potter, of course.
Where's Harry Potter?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joanne got that. She gets credit for that.
Okay. Nice.
Well, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is number three.
Joanne is closer to the ear of the world
That's
population.
Right. That's right.
Got her ear to the ground there. Good. Thanks, guys. Good show.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
That me?
It is you.
Okay, this is Don in Massachusetts. I think I called once about 15 years ago. I'm not sure.
I remember it very well. Word for word.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So a few months ago, you had a question based on the podcast 1 year. And I had another question from the exact same episode.
Great. I think it was me, and I'll see if I remember.
Season. The question is, what do these three women have in common? Kilda Radner, Raquel Welch, and Diane Sawyer.
Kilda Radner, Raquel Welch, and Diane Sawyer.
And this is linked to 1955, huh?
I'm not sure what the connection to 55 was anymore. It's been a long time since we both heard the podcast.
Yeah, because they weren't all born in 55. Two of them were... Does it have to do with their personal, like, married life?
No. No, not at all.
Okay.
It's interesting that Lori should bring that up because what's her name, was married to Mike Nichols.
Diane Sawyer,
okay. And then Mike Nichols produced Gilda Radner's show on Broadway.
This is something they did early in their careers.
Early in their careers. Okay.
Kind of in show business or something else?
I would say it's loosely related to journalism.
Huh.
Does
it something to do with... No. Is Barbara Walters coming in this in any way?
No.
Okay. All right.
They were all children. Well, I'm trying to... Does 1955 have much to do with the answer? Should we be thinking that, or is that distracting?
I don't think it does, because one of these women did whatever she did in the 60s.
Yeah.
So, did they all appear, or did they all have connection in some media sense to the same thing, like being on a show? They were all on a show. And
well, it is media. It's TV, to be explicit.
Yes. Were they all in a beauty pageant of some kind?
No.
Because Diane Sawyer was.
They weren't Mouseketeers, were they?
No.
I think that was a long show.
It's a connection to the same television show. Is that correct?
Not the exact same show, but three similar shows.
Three similar shows. Yeah. Okay.
Related to journalism, loosely.
Were they, as kids, on a panel? Like the Kids Say the Darndest Things kind of panel?
No. They were adults.
They were adults, all right.
Huh.
Adults say the darndest things.
Give us a hint. What kind of show was it, sort of?
All right, related to meteorology?
It's related to meteorology? Interesting. Something to do with an eclipse?
No. All right, I'm going to give it to you. They all reported the weather on TV.
They did what? Say it again.
Oh, they all did the weather.
They reported the weather on TV.
Oh, no kidding. They were weather.
Oh, I didn't know Rhoda Radner was a weather.
Well, so, that was an episode in that show of
1985. What cities were they in? What cities did they report the weather?
Let's see. Raquel Welch in San Diego. Diane Sawyer, WLKY in Louisville. And I couldn't find... Radner, College Radio, University of Michigan.
Okay. Interesting question. Thank you very much.
And they did.
Thank you. Bye.
In that podcast 1 year, they did an episode on the rise of weather women as a phenomenon. Oh. And it's really interesting too. And I forgot those three. Thank you, caller.
Thanks. Great. All right. We're about halfway through. Let's actually a little past that. Let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Daryl, we'll start with you.
Okay, we have two movie taglines, one from the 70s. On every street in every city in this country, there is a nobody who dreams of being a somebody. And from the 90s, even a hitman deserves a second shot. And I'm also looking for the capital Guam. It only has 950 people. And the Cocos Islands and Keeling Islands are part of what country? They only got 120 people in the capital.
And I was looking at the top advertising slogans from 1950 to 2000. And I'm looking for two more. We have the pause that refreshes, good to the last drop, and where's the beef? One of them is a question, and it's about a grooming or beauty product. I'll give that clue. And the other one is about a beverage, and that beverage is a beer.
Can I take a guess there for IBM and Apple? Did Think and Think Different, either of those there?
Both famous, and neither one in the top 10.
All right, and I have, what was the longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe? Who was the dictator and what was the country? The longest unbroken dictatorship in 20th century Europe, 41 years. So that's longer than Franco, so don't guess Franco. And what are the sixth largest retailers in the United States that have an apostrophe in the name of the business? The six largest retailers in the United States to have an apostrophe in the name of the business. So far, we have Macy's and Kohl's. What are the others on that list? And Lori, is it your turn?
I think it is.
All right, go ahead.
And I want the Arbor Day celebration to continue. It was yesterday, but they're going to sit in the spirit of that. Which seven United States have more than 65% of the land in that state covered by forest? So there are seven states in which they have more than 65% of the land is covered by forest. I'm looking for the seven. I'll give you two each.
How about Wyoming?
Wyoming is not in the top seven.
What?
There are lots of trees. We're looking at lots of trees.
So there's,
they're all ranked, but I'm looking for the ones that have more than 65% forest coverage, it's called.
Then how about Washington?
Washington State also not in the top 10.
What the heck?
I know. That surprised me.
I think some of them are in the South.
I think you're right.
Yeah. How about Alabama?
Yep. Number five was 71.3%. Alabama is on the list. Very good.
And I think maybe There's a one New England, except I'm not sure which one. Or I'll just take the biggest one then. Oh, how about, you could say Maine, maybe. How about Massachusetts, though?
No, Massachusetts is not in the top seven. Darryl, you want one more guess?
Well,
Dana, by the way, Dana's in the
top territory. How about Vermont?
Vermont is number four with 76.7% forest coverage. Very good. So, audience, we're looking for five more. And Dana has hinted by talking at least one more in kind of New England and at least one more in the South.
All right. Okay. All right. And the numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Cynthia is wondering if the my question about the apostrophe in the name Joanne's Fabrics, and that's not in the top six anyway. Let's put it that way. And let's see, Tristan is wondering '90s Hitman. Wait a minute, where had that come up?
And that's
is that
Darryl's.
Part of your question, Darryl?
Yeah, 1997 film. Even a hitman deserves a second shot.
Okay, so Tristan suggested Gross Point Blank.
It is Gross Point Ooh. Blank.
All right, good job.
Nice.
Okay. And Carlton is wondering whether does she or doesn't she, with a question mark at the end. Is that one?
That is one. That's the beauty nice. Product. Anybody remember the product?
Clairol.
Yeah, all right. Does she like dye her hair? I think that's what it's about. Very good. So we're only looking for the beer.
Eric is wondering about whether Salazar Portugal, but it's not Salazar Portugal, was the longest serving dictator. Okay. All right.
And Joanne had asked if Lowe's was one of the apostrophe retailers.
Yes, Lowe's is indeed one of them. Right. So the six largest retailers in the U.S. to have an apostrophe in their name, Lowe's is one. Correct. Good job, Joanne. All right. Let's see. What can I ask you here? 15 minutes. All right. What is the country with the longest unbroken treaty relationship with the United States? What is the country that has the longest unbroken treaty relationship with the United States? They signed that treaty in 1786.
Wow.
Of France?
That'd it is be... not France.
Really?
Yes. It's remember, it has to be unbroken. So in other words,
when did we break with France?
By war, you know, but for instance, World War II, it would have been slightly different because France was conquered by Germany and therefore the treaty was abrogated
for that.
And so what is the country in the world that has the longest unbroken treaty relationship with the United States? It was signed in 1786.
Good question.
Leave that out. And let's see. Peter is wondering if one of the forested states is Maine. I think I mentioned Maine.
It is. Maine is number one by quite a bit.
I dismissed it and Peter got it right. So there you go.
89% of Maine is forested. Very good.
Arcane.
Should have gone with your impulse. Okay. Still looking for four more.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
This is Joe from Tulsa.
Hi, Joe.
I've got a movie question for all.
All right.
Got several answers. In the movie Rebel Without a Cause, James Dean and Natalie Wood, of course, playing two troubled teenagers. They had pretty troubled, screwed up parents on both sides. Yeah. I would like to know the names of the veteran character actors that played James Dean's parents and the name of the movie that those character actors played Natalie Wood's parents in a movie made 2 years earlier. So I'm looking for the two names of the actors that played Dean's parents and those actors reversed it and played Natalie Wood's parents in a movie with a little bit of a hint that had somewhat of a sports background. a couple of years earlier by the same actors.
Well, wow. Jim Backus played James Dean's father.
He did.
And I'm trying to remember the name of the... Is it Ann Duran, by any chance?
That is correct.
All right.
And, so those, and going on to the other...
And they played the parents of Natalie Wood in an earlier movie, right?
Exactly.
It wasn't Splendor in the Grass, was it?
No, I gave a hint on it.
The sports part.
So the other movie, Joe, was earlier. It was 2 years earlier. Is that what you said?
I believe it might have been as early as 1952 or 53, but it was before Natalie Wood was playing adult roles.
Right. So the same people that played her parents in Rebel Without a Cause play her parents in this film as well.
No, you got it wrong, but I mean you're close. Yeah. The same parents of James Dean.
Of James Dean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Oh, played so Natalie Wood's parents.
Jim Backus. Was it a comedy?
Well, it might have had a little humor. I would say it's more of a sports movie with a romantic lean to it. As far as any rollicking laughs, I don't think it was.
What was it? A sports biography? Was it a true, person?
The title would lean itself to think so, but no.
Okay. Good hint. So it could have been something like the Lou Gehrig story, but the Lou Gehrig is not a real person, kind of thing.
Well, yes, but I think it was more family-oriented with a sports background.
What sport was it?
Well, I hope I'm not giving it away, but the sport would be football.
Football. All right. Let me think about this.
1950-ish football movie with really Natalie Wood 50. As a kid. Yeah.
The only other thing I'd say is...
Since you said it was football, she was in a movie called The Rose Bowl Story. Is that it?
Exactly.
Whoa!
All right, okay.
You got it. I mean, it was somewhat of a low budget movie, but Marshall Thompson. But the gist of the movie was the daughter of that couple striving to be a Rose Bowl queen, and of course, the romantic part would be the football hero that's in the game and all that. But it lends itself to sort of being a biographical thing about the formation of the Rose Bowl, but that has nothing to do with it. But I thought maybe the oddity of the fact that the parents were switched or that played different, kind of switch parts. And
that's great.
Of course, there's a lot of trivia questions involved with Rebel, with Paul Drake from Perry Mason, and I throw in one little fun fact. The mother was supposed to have a larger part in the Natalie Wood part, and it was played by what actress that was in the part, shot scenes, but later was taken out because of her being blacklisted.
Who?
Ann Revere or somebody like that?
Well, it would have the same problem, but it wasn't Ann Revere.
All right. No, we don't know.
Gilda Radner.
Well, this was right at the top of my head, but I mean, the question was, but it is actual. If you look it up, it's Marcia Hunt, who is big fan of. Okay, well, that's enough of my nonsense. I was hoping to get. I was hoping to answer Daryl's poster or a catchphrase or whatever, and I couldn't come up with it. So I'm through for the evening. Great show. Enjoying it very much.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Very good.
We don't get a lot of calls from Oklahoma. That's nice, Joe. Thank you.
And that's Joe Redman, a famous quiz champion many years at King's X in Oakland, and a nice guy. So let's see. We have a couple of emails here. Longest unbroken treaty. A couple of people are suggesting Canada. No, it's not Canada, because we remember in the War of 1812, we... Not only did we try to invade Canada, but they tried to invade us. So British troops came down from Canada. So no, that's not going to work. And let's see. Tom is wondering if these are some of the states that are most forested. Montana, Oregon, Maine, Kentucky, and West Virginia.
Well, the only one that he mentioned that's on the list is West Virginia, which is third. When Fred is our caller, our Cary Grant guy called from that was 78%. Can you do the list again quickly?
Yes. Montana, Oregon, Maine, Kentucky, West Virginia.
Yeah. Maine is on the list. The rest are not. So I think we have three more to go. Very good.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is Richard from Berkeley.
Hi.
I believe the capital of Guam starts with an A. It's either Ag or Agana.
That's really close. We'll just give it to you. It's Hagana, H-A-G-A-T-N-A.
Oh, okay. I thought it started with an A. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe Agana might be the way to proceed.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And if you want to give us a quick call, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Yes, some people are coming in with the answer to the longest serving dictator. Let me give credit here if I can. I don't want to miss anybody. Janos had it. And give me 1 second here. And and Larry had it. And Deborah had it. So the longest serving dictator is Enver Hoxha. Hoxha of Albania.
Okay.
From 1944 to 1985.
Wow.
So Enver Hoxha of Albania. I'm sure I still mispronounced it. But yes, a very, very harsh dictator and one who adhered to Chinese communism, Mao, rather than Stalin, which put him on the outs with Stalin. But still, so 41 years. Anyway, credit to everybody who got that. And all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Oh, hey, Greg.
You know, for the first time, I think I have more than one answer.
Well, we'll see about that.
So, Lori, the tagline about on every corner, there's somebody who wants to be a nobody wants to be somebody. What decade was that again?
Yeah, so the movie, 1976, on every street in every city in this country, there's a nobody who dreams of being a somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was your question. It's, that's Taxi Driver.
It is Taxi Driver.
Good work.
Yeah, okay. And then the, so Lori, for your question, is it the King of Beers?
It is not the King of Beers, which I think that was, I forget, Miller High Life or something, but not the King of Beers.
But you did say it was a beer.
It is a beer.
Okay. Is it Tastes Great, Less Filling?
It is. And what was the product? Do you remember?
I don't know beer.
Miller Lite. Okay. Miller that was Lite. I think it was the first big light beer. So Tastes Great, Less Filling was the missing one. Greg, you're on a roll.
Got beer.
Okay. I'm on a roll. Not so beer. I have one for each person. And Dana, the retailers with an apostrophe?
Yes. One. Well, give me one. Only one.
Yeah, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Dick's Sporting Goods is number six on that very list. Yeah, very good.
All right. Good. Good show.
All right.
That Greg is something.
Thank you, Greg from Alameda. And all right, let's see. We only got 6 minutes. Does anybody have a really short question?
I do.
Really short. All right.
A really short one.
All right.
What athlete won an Oscar, yet was denied membership into the Academy?
So, did they win the Oscar for acting?
No.
Okay.
Was it pretty recent?
Yes. Well, this century, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they produce it? Was it that end?
Yes.
As soon as you said, I want to say it was Kobe Bryant.
It is Kobe Bryant, yeah. He was denied, he won an Oscar, denied membership because of the sexual assault allegations.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, he wanders the Dear Basketball. Dear Basketball, short film.
That's right.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
I have an equally quick question, Ron.
All right. Correct.
Who was the first Disney character completely invented for TV? When Disney went to Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, they invented a brand new character. They invented a bunch. Who was the first? 1961.
So was this a lead character?
I think so. I remember this character.
This was an entirely, it wasn't like one of the Mouseketeers or the leader of the Mouseketeers or anything like that.
This is 100% animated. Right.
Oh, animated. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm.
Huh. Animated.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Leave it out for a minute.
Okay. So the first Disney character invented completely for TV for Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, 1961.
Is this character still around?
Boy, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they made the full length thing. It was definitely in those short little cartoons, you know, in that era of, it's more, I don't know if they're still around. Yeah, I don't watch enough Disney. Sorry.
All right. Like Scrooge McDuck, is that?
It's not Scrooge McDuck, but you are definitely in the right territory of what these characters look and act like.
All right.
I believe you're in the right species.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hello?
Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to make... there were three actors in the same movie that all died tragically. Do you know who they were?
Was it the Misfits? Was that it?
No.
I bet...
No?
You were just talking about something that involved them.
Oh, are you talking about Rebel Without a Cause? Is that what you
mean? Uh-huh.
Oh, so Sal Mineo was murdered, and then James Dean was killed in an auto accident, and then Natalie Wood drowned.
You got it. Okay.
All right.
A good one. All right.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay.
Time to wrap up here. I should say that we did have a couple of people that John and Ede both got Morocco. Morocco is the country that has the longest unbroken treaty relationship with the United States from 1786. So congratulations to them. Okay, time to clean up here. Daryl, we'll start with you.
Real quick, was it something like Professor Ludwig van Dyck or something for that enemy?
It is very much like that.
Oh, it's very good.
Ludwig van Drake.
Okay.
Yeah, give him a bell. Okay. Excellent.
And the Cocos Islands or Keeling Islands, only 120 people in its capital. That belongs to Australia.
Australia, all right.
That's it. On the most forested states that we did not get, Georgia's number 7 was 67%. South Carolina, number 6, was 68%. And number 2, New Hampshire, with 82% of its land is forested. And that's all I have.
All right. So all I have left here, just to read you the list of the 6 largest retailers in the United States to have an apostrophe in their name. One is Lowe's, Macy's, BJ's Wholesale Club, which I've never been to, Kohl's, O'Reilly's Auto Parts, and Dick's Sporting Goods. So if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for all the calls. Remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. My thanks to Daryl Garrison, realtor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabla Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. We're glad you enjoyed the show, and we do hope you will join us next Saturday morning. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.